T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Story number 3.
Oklahoma is your Women's College World Series champion. They just beat Florida State 5-1 in game 3 of a best-of-3 series. They went down 0-1 in the series, came back one last night, then won again this afternoon. Okay. They're the first number 1 overall seed to win the national championship in softball since Florida in 2015. And in the process, last night, they set a record for Division 1 home runs. History.
How many they hit?
1 billion.
Really?
Felt like it. They were smashing.
Really?
You needed to get them Florida State pitchers. Them girls needed some sticky stuff on their hands. Yeah. Bad. Because these Oklahoma girls were beating them around the park. Oklahoma ain't nothing to joke about in women's softball. I didn't know that 3 days ago.
I didn't either.
But I know it now. And I actually watched this last night.
Did you?
Yes. The crowd is amazing. Did you see any
of
it?
No, the crowds in these things are fun. They are.
The Women's College World Series, the crowds are awesome.
You can hear it all. It's right there on top of them.
And it looks like when you – I don't even – like, I said this about WrestleMania when I watched it earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Like, if when you put a crowd, a big crowd around something, it doesn't even matter what it is. It just seems like it matters.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And so you had a big crowd last night watching the Women's College World Series. So I was like, I'll turn this on. Then Oklahoma started smashing home runs, and then they did it again this afternoon. So congrats to them. They're national champions.
Story number 4.
Jeffrey Toobin returned to CNN earlier today for the first time in 8 months because he has been kept away from the network because on a Zoom call with colleagues from The New Yorker last October, he was caught masturbating on a Zoom call. He lost his job with The New Yorker, but apparently he is going to return to CNN, and that started today. So they bring him live on television, and they decide that before we start analyzing legal issues in our country, because that's what he's paid to do, first we got to talk about this Zoom call. So they legit talked about this Zoom call on CNN, and this is what it sounded like.
In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from The New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much, and it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story. And, you know, I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing. But I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
You got a problem with him coming back to CNN?
I don't. No, I don't. I just, that's so funny, just how she introduced that. Like, I mean, how do you even have that conversation?
Can you imagine, like, if somebody tells you, like, one day you are going to have to sit on national television and be asked about the time you got caught masturbating on a Zoom call?
Like, I'd
what?
Just be like, Lord,
what?
Take me now.
Like, really? That's in my future?
I don't have a problem with it, though. I don't. I mean, the guy clearly made a stupid mistake, and it is moronic and indefensible, but, like, he wasn't trying to – it was an accident.
It was an accident.
It was an accident.
If he pulled his ding-a-ling out on a Zoom call intentionally.
It was like, hey, everybody.
Or like just because he got off on that.
Right.
Which some people do. Then, yeah, you're fired and you can't.
Of course.
You can't work for us anymore. But like, this guy thought the Zoom call was over. He thought he had closed everything. And then he was just doing what people sometimes do. Which, by the way, we can laugh about it and joke about it, and it is embarrassing for him. And if I were him, I would also be embarrassed. But, like, can we also say this? It's a very normal thing to do.
Sure.
Just, you got to make sure you turn the camera off.
Now, I'll be honest. I'm kind of surprised he wants to still be, like, a public TV figure. Like, I'd want to go just crawl in my hole and never be seen again.
I don't know.
That's me.
It feels like if you come out, and like, first off, you know, there's no way around it. Like, this is going to be what you're known for forever, and people are going to get their jokes off forever.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to accept that as part of your life. But once you address it, you know, then it, you know, let's just get on with it. Okay, like, yes, I did what I did. Like, he didn't sit here and try to say, I didn't know this and didn't do this, and it wasn't quite as it appears. She was like, do I have this right? And he said, yes, that's right. That's exactly what happened. You know, just sort of own it and move on. Again, what he actually did is a very normal thing, except he had a camera on that he forgot to turn off. The mistake here isn't what he did as much as it's doing it with the camera on.
Yes.
And it was clearly an accident. And, like, should somebody have to pay a lifetime sentence, like lose their whole career for an accident? Again, if he was intentionally doing this on a Zoom call, then you got to go because now you're a creep. But if you just accidentally left the Zoom camera on, the embarrassment and humiliation of that, mm-hmm. of people making those jokes about you forever, seems like punishment enough. So let the guy have his job back. I was happy to see him. Just keep your camera turned off.
Yeah.
Jeff Calkins is up next.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN, with 92.9's Jeff Calkins now and every day around 5 p.m.
Yeah, the feeling goes, but my hair keeps growing.
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of the Jeff Calkins Show. It's weekdays 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Also takes picture of the dogs. Joins me every day after 5. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
Well, it's supposed to be a slow week, Gary, and more stuff keeps happening. So I'm flummoxed.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
More stuff keeps happening.
We'll get to that stuff in a minute. First, though, what's your favorite vegetable?
What's funny is you say that, like, I don't know if there's a conversation we've had in the last week that inspired more Twitter reaction than the favorite fruit conversation. Like, people were very passionate about their favorite fruits, don't you think? I mean, you know, like the watermelon crowd very clearly came through on Twitter, I thought.
Yeah, that is where I always remember those moments every time some goofball wants to tell me or anybody else to stick to sports, because you don't actually mean it. You just want me to not say things you disagree with. You don't want me to stick to sports. You want me to talk about fruits and the difference in calories between a crunchy taco and a soft taco.
That's exactly right. It's only stick to sport. No one, we didn't get a lot of stick to sports. You know, we don't want your hot watermelon takes. Stick to sports. We didn't get a lot of it yesterday. It was fun.
It was fun. I always have fun talking to you. But today we will actually talk sports. Because Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted at 4:13 Central earlier today that Michigan's Juwan Howard continues to tell NBA teams he's not interested in even discussion on leaving Ann Arbor. And then he added, teams are also calling to gather intel on Memphis coach Penny Hardaway's work. He's going to get offers to interview for openings in this NBA job cycle. Are we about to lose Penny to the NBA?
I would be very, very, very surprised if if Penny were to go to the NBA. And not because, now there's two reasons you wouldn't lose. There are two reasons you wouldn't lose Penny. One would be that he wouldn't be offered a job, and the second would be that he wouldn't take the job, right? Those are the only two possible reasons. Let's take the second one first. If offered a job, would he take it? He might, despite what he says, like about, you know, I'm here to do it. Like, it's not every day you get offered an NBA job. And I don't think one of the great things about having Penny Hardaway as your Memphis basketball coach is it's not this situation where you have to worry every year about losing him to another college. Unlike, for example, when Calipari was here, but even when Josh Pastner was here, you know, like there was, oh, is Josh going to go to USC or wherever else? And you know where Penny's heart is. You know, he didn't get into this to be a successful college coach anywhere. You know, he got into this because of what he thinks about Memphis and his hometown. And so it's been wonderful that, you know, you could fret about all kinds of things with the program if you want, but Penny and going to another university is not something you have to worry about. Would he go to a professional job? I think ultimately, if he did, he would prefer it to be, you know, I'm going to go deep in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to get the Memphis program rolling, whatever, and then I'll go coach in the NBA. But I don't rule out, if Orlando were to give off from their head coaching job, I don't rule out the possibility that he would take it just because it's the freaking NBA, for God's sakes, right? And he is a competitive dude, and he would enjoy coaching in the you know, most important, best league in the world. I think, with all due respect, and I don't mean it badly. I think it's unlikely he's going to actually be offered a job, because the things that Penny has been best at as a college basketball coach, recruiting, getting his guys to play hard, right? I mean, those are the things that you would say he's. And then I do think we saw real strategic on the defensive end. We saw a lot of sophisticated work. But if you're an NBA team and you're digging into this, would you really hire a guy who has not even made the NCAA tournament in college, and who, through much of the year, when people looked at the stuff they ran, thought, I got no idea what the hell they're doing? I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, I will be surprised if he is offered an NBA job. Doesn't mean he will never be offered an NBA job, and doesn't mean I wouldn't be wrong, but I would be surprised. Your thoughts?
Well, first, if offered a job, I don't know that he would take it, but you'd have to consider it. Like you said, there's only 30 of those. And I don't want to say it's an easier job, because it's not an easier job if you have a bad roster. It's a very difficult job. But it's an easier lifestyle, and it would be a totally reasonable parachute out of this tougher-than-he-probably-realized situation that he's in at the University of Memphis. He came in talking about national championships, and I'm certain he knows by now that those things are very hard to get. And that running a high major program is much more difficult and demanding than he likely realized, if only because every coach I've ever talked to will tell you it's much more demanding and difficult than they probably realized. Like, Tom Crean got the job at Georgia a few years ago, and very quickly got a commitment from the number one player in the country, and Anthony Edwards, and it's a guy who's been to a Final Four, won multiple outright Big Ten titles. I promise you, he thought he was going to have that thing up and running. Now he's on the hot seat, you know, after just losing half his team to the transfer portal. Like, it's not going well at Georgia. Like, this stuff is hard. And so taking an NBA job, particularly if it was something that could be considered a good NBA job, just might be a way out of all this. Because nobody would really blame you for taking an NBA job and leaving college basketball behind. As for whether he could do it well, I wouldn't pretend to know, because they're two very different jobs. Like, I just had Avery Johnson on in the opening hour. He was an NBA coach of the year, the actual NBA coach of the year. Then in college, he got the Alabama job and got fired after four seasons. You know, like, he did one really well, and the other one not as well. And so I do agree with you that the stuff Memphis was running on offense for much of last season was ineffective. But would it be more effective with NBA players? I don't have any doubt. So I don't know that he could do the job, but I wouldn't.
By the way, I wasn't saying he couldn't do the job. I was suggesting, would he be offered the job?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I would not ever insist he couldn't flourish as an NBA coach because he hasn't yet flourished as a college coach. I just think the jobs are totally different. And I think most coaches would tell you that as well. In a broader sense, what I like about this story is you have the preeminent newsbreaker in the NBA tweeting, not that people are only interested in learning about Penny Hardaway, but that he will get offers to interview for openings in this NBA job cycle. And that's got to be a big blow for the people who still call him just an AAU coach or think that he doesn't even belong in college basketball. Because trust me when I tell you, NBA front offices would not even be wanting to talk to Penny Hardaway if he was actually a joke of a coach the way some of his detractors try to make him out to be.
Oh, there's no question that's true. There's no question that's true. I think it burnishes his reputation too. And I think it in terms of recruiting and everything else, like I think it burnishes his reputation. He is being taken seriously by the NBA. And why wouldn't he be, you know, why wouldn't he be? Well, honestly, I mean, you look at the NBA generally and you see what all the time players step right in from being, I mean, we're seeing it in Brooklyn right now, from being successful, from being really good players, if you're smart, cerebral players, to being high-level coaches. And success and failure generally depends on your roster after that, right? So Penny Hardaway isn't much different than that, except for he also took time to roll up his sleeves, do work in his community, connect with Lester Middle, and then East, and so do you use those things as demerits because he did all that good work and is at his alma mater? That wouldn't seem right. That seems like good work he's done, and I think it speaks to who Penny is. So, but I think there's no question. It's a high compliment for Penny. I guess my suspicion would be lots of people interview every year. You know, how long did you name the hot assistant coach who was interviewed every single year? David Fisdale before he got the Memphis
Patrick Ewing, Kelvin Sampson. Like Kelvin, one of the reasons Kelvin finally just came back to college is he said, I realized at some point I was just the token interview for a lot of these places. People assumed I'm getting all these interviews that eventually I'm going to be an NBA head coach, but I kept getting the sense that I'm only being interviewed for one reason.
Yeah. So by the way, I think Penny might be, you know, I think Penny, it's a different cluster of reasons with Penny because I think he has the respect that comes from being one of the all-time great players as well. Which Kelvin didn't have, but most people who interview for head coaching jobs don't get them.
Right.
So the odds are long that he, you know, let's put it the other way, the odds are very, very good that he will be the head coach at the University of Memphis next year. I just don't think you could sit here worrying about it. You know, I guess that's my bigger takeaway on all of this is that he has done a good thing for the University of Memphis by being here, by resurrecting the program, by restoring enthusiasm. I think he's going to be back next year. Take this as a compliment. Don't particularly fret about it. If it happens, it happens, but it seems unlikely that it will.
Feel bad for Larry Brown. He's going to move to Memphis, and then Penny's going to leave him.
I got to say, this is what's bothering me about this week, is that you know, I wrote about the Jeopardy woman, Verlinda, who was just shined on Jeopardy, a Memphian, proud Memphian. But because of that, I didn't write about Cameron Kinley, the proud Lausanne graduate and Navy captain, who was told he couldn't play in the NFL by the Navy. So I wrote that a day later, at which point the Larry Brown stuff was breaking. And so I said, well, I'll do that tomorrow. So now I've written a Larry Brown column. and the Penny Hardaway stuff is breaking, and the football and the football playoff stuff is breaking. Considering this is the first week of kind of summer, the Grizzlies are over and everything else, it has been a very busy week in Memphis sports. I did, by the way, go back and read your column that you wrote after Larry Brown bailed on SMU.
Oh, what did I write?
It was not particularly nice to Larry Brown.
Oh.
The sentence that I quoted in my column was, I mean, the truth of the matter is, after that, everyone lined up. You weren't. Like, Nicole Auerbach from USA Today and Dana O'Neill, who was then with ESPN, both wrote that he has no place in college basketball. He should not. There is no place for Larry Brown in college basketball. Basically, he's a disgrace. You shouldn't hire him in college basketball. You actually didn't. You were more focused on he bailed on his team, and that's what Larry does. That's what you wrote. You wrote he bailed on his team. The truth of the matter is, from the Memphis perspective, no one cares if he's going to bail on his team. Like, he's not going to be the head coach. Doesn't matter. Like, that aspect of the Larry Brown record that troubles people, which is he bails on everybody, just doesn't matter here. But you had one line, and you said, this is likely the end of the line for Larry Brown unless someone wants to hire a 75-year-old coach, blah, blah, blah. And here he is, almost 81, and he would be 81 when he, before the season started at the University of Memphis. If you don't know the particular circumstances of Penny and Larry and whatever else, it's ridiculous.
Well, I will say that, you know, the idea of Larry Brown, like, makes sense to me. But, and I say this as respectfully as I can say it, but, like, people can change a lot between the age of 75 and 81. Like, are you still equipped to contribute at the age of 81? I say this as somebody who doesn't really expect to live to 81.
Or maybe not 75 for that matter.
right. I say this because I realize the way it comes across, and I don't mean it to be rude, but I don't know that there's any other 81-year-olds working in college basketball, and that is probably for a reason. Roy Williams just retired well in advance of 81, and the reason Roy Williams retired, he said, is because he didn't think he could do the job anymore. He thought it was, I can't do...
Now he's not doing the assistant coaching job. He's not chipping in as an assistant coach. And I wouldn't hire Larry Brown as... I mean, if it weren't for these particular circumstances, which is that Penny... It's not just that it's helpful for him to have an experienced coach. Not all that experienced, but an experienced coach on his bench. It's that Penny doesn't trust most people and therefore doesn't listen to most people. And therefore, you know, it's that particular characteristic that Penny has that makes Larry more well-suited for that job. You know Penny respects him, right? But it's interesting when you talk about how people change. I mean, I didn't say this because this has really been disrespectful, but, like, you could hire him today and you don't know if he's going to make it to the season. I mean, he's going to be 81 years old. But there was the last piece I saw written on him was by the Kansas City Star. You know, he won a title there, so no matter what happens, people still love Larry Brown. And they talked to him during the pandemic, and all the quotes were, I really don't like basketball these days because there's so many young kids playing, both in the pros and in the college. He said, if you look back at, you know, when the Celtics and the Knicks and all that, it was just all, you know, 34-year-old, all, you know, veteran guys playing. There weren't any of these kids playing. Same thing with college. There weren't these kids playing. He said, and it wasn't just all about the 3-point shot. You could still throw it into the big man. He said, I don't like the way the game is. Well, it's funny. I read all that, and it doesn't mean that Larry can't adapt even at age 81. But, like, in that one piece from a year ago, he sounded like the guy, you know, yelling, get off my lawn. To the new style of basketball.
Yeah, like, if you don't like the 3-point shot or embrace it, you're not equipped to be involved in basketball today, period. Like, it's just a part of the game. And so that would be my main concern. Not that Larry Brown's going to get Memphis in trouble. Like, Memphis is shown capable of getting itself in trouble. They don't need Larry Brown to do that. But, you know,
it's funny, though. Even though I don't believe he would, quote-unquote, get Memphis in trouble, He hiring him would not be reputationally good for the University of Memphis, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be good for Memphis's reputation, but like I love Memphis, Memphis,
but you
know what Memphis's reputation is,
right? Well, I'm trying to say, who cares?
Right. Yeah,
who cares? Is it good for Kansas's reputation that they just gave Bill Self a contract that says that he can't be fired, that for cause does not include NCAA violations in the midst of a giant investigation? They gave him a lifetime contract that excludes NCAA violations as a reason to fire him. Is that good for their reputation? And do they care? I think we've reached this point where the NCAA is such a joke, so not respected, both the rules they enforce, the way they enforce them, that more and more people are just double burdened. Like, I don't really care, you know, maybe not as flagrantly as Memphis did with the Wiseman thing, but Memphis can choose to not hire Larry Brown and no one's going to confuse them with Butler or Duke or whatever else, right?
Right. Yeah, like if Kansas doesn't care about its reputation and Auburn doesn't care about its reputation and LSU doesn't care about its reputation, with all due respect, and I say this as a Memphis graduate, who is Memphis to care about its reputation? Like people already...
No, that's exactly right. Honestly, I don't think most fans do. I don't think they should. I mean, you are what you are.
You're
considered, you know, you can't... Here's what you'd like to
do. You've been to three Final Fours, two of them are vacated, and you're waiting on an NCAA verdict right now. You are what you are.
What you want, then, your reputation to be in addition is that you beat the hell out of
people. That you're awesome, right?
That's what you want to – that's the other part of the reputation that you want to restore. You're not going to change that other part of that reputation. It's an urban, you know, university. It's going to be – like, reputation is going to be what a reputation is. Exactly right. And people, by and large, laugh at it. Like, we tell stories. People love to tell stories about this stuff, you know, about the plush club and then, you know – it's all part of the lore. I suppose other places they might talk about Rhodes Scholars or something. In Memphis, we talk about Joey's making it rain. You know, let's embrace it. The stripper furs and all of this stuff.
No, that is for better or worse. That's Memphis basketball, and so like Larry Brown isn't going to change Memphis's reputation. He might enhance it. He might put it in bold for some national headlines, but. Nobody is sitting around right for a day. Nobody is sitting around right now going, I can't believe Memphis would hire a person like Larry Brown. If they say anything, it'll be, of course, Memphis would be the program to hire Larry Brown. And so I have no hangups whatsoever on Larry's NCAA past. Like, that doesn't matter to me at all. If you were asking me my biggest concern about hiring Larry Brown, it wouldn't be anything to do with his past. It would be everything to do with, can an soon-to-be 81-year-old actually help you? And I don't know the answer to that. I'm assuming Penny would have to have the answer for that, and hopefully he does. I haven't talked to Larry in a while, but it's totally reasonable to wonder whether an 81-year-old who doesn't like the way basketball is played these days can help you.
Well, and by the way, who was like his last gig in Italy? He was fired at midway through the year. Like he didn't transform that team. I don't know what happened in Italy, but didn't work out well. But before that, you go back to SMU, and I think it was 2015 when that ended. So that was, you know, it was a while ago. I was 75, and but obviously, whatever you think about the NCAA stuff at SMU, certainly did a hell of a job there.
No, he was terrific. I mean, you know, they violated rules, you know, to get some of those players. But, like, Larry Brown, at the age of 75, Larry Brown could coach your team. There's no question. He was still together enough and good enough to coach your team. He was still a high-level coach at the age of 75. But, again, you know, there's a big difference. I know it's only 6 years, but, you know, there's a big difference between being 75 and 81. I mean, you watched you've watched your parents age. Like, a lot changes at, you know, once you get to a certain age.
I know when my dad hit 99, he started to slow down. There's no question about that. You know, he was slowing down sometime between 95 and 99, I could notice a little slowing on dad.
Well, I'll say this because I think it's true. Go pull press conferences from when Joe Biden was vice president and go pull press conference from today. You can see a difference.
You don't want him coaching your basketball team? Is that what you're saying?
I want him down.
Are you calling him Sleepy Joe? Sleepy Joe?
All I'm saying is that when people would say Joe Biden it doesn't sound the same as he used to sound, I could acknowledge that that was true. I mean, I've got ears.
Right.
I mean, like you know.
He wasn't winning NCAA championships in the best of times, though, let's be honest, verbally. You know, like.
I'm just saying a lot. But there's a big difference between the age of 75 and 81, or at least there can be. I think Joe's 78. 78. So from like 72 to 70, from 72 to 78, he changed in some ways.
Are you saying that Joe Biden is your favorite vegetable?
I am saying no.
No.
I'm not saying wow. No. I'm saying Brussels sprouts are my favorite vegetable.
Is that real?
Is corn a vegetable? It's corn a starch. I guess corn is a quote-unquote starch, so it's not a vegetable.
It's part of the vegetable family.
Yeah, I'm going to put that. I feel like you can get that on a veggie plate. If you can get it on a veggie plate, okay.
Yeah,
it's a vegetable.
Yeah.
Then macaroni cheese is my favorite vegetable.
Yeah,
no,
macaroni cheese
that's
is
a
really,
pasta.
Macaroni
no, no,
cheese
no.
is a good
Stop
vegetable,
it, y'all.
Boy. Macaroni and cheese is a good one. I love Brussels sprouts. That's the truth.
Did you like them before they became cool? When you had to eat the whole Brussels sprout?
I don't even know.
What was it like?
I
mixed
don't,
with bacon and broiled and whatever else.
I didn't know
everyone
that,
loves them now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we figured out as a society how to handle them.
Make them palatable,
yeah.
Right.
I don't put bacon on my Brussels sprouts. I mean, I won't mind it if you do, but like I have Brussels sprouts in my freezer right now. And
what do you do to them?
I just throw a bunch of pepper on them and I cook them and then I eat them.
You got like the packaged ones? Is that what you're talking about?
Sure.
Oh man, you got to go fresh with the olive oil. Cut them in half. Do the olive oil.
What do you do? Where do you cook them?
I put them in the oven.
Broil them, oven, like a 400 or something.
Yeah, like 450 maybe.
Yeah, when I was growing up, we used to just steam them, and I liked them then. You just like steam them like you would a green bean or whatever else, you know. And we ate a lot of Brussels sprouts. I love a Brussels sprout. I love a Brussels sprout. Yeah.
You know what else I love? Butternut squash.
I don't know. I've had enough to love it. Where have you had what exposure to butternut squash?
The Delta Sky Club in Atlanta has butternut squash soup. I love it.
That's not the same though, GP. That's, like eating a butternut squash is not the same as the soup. The soup has been, they've worked with that. Yeah,
all kinds of stuff.
It's called butternut squash soup. Can I not assume from that that I enjoy butternut squash?
No.
You didn't like coconut water, even though you like coconut.
Exactly.
So I don't think
it's very similar. Very similar things.
I feel like I rock with butternut squash. I feel like I do. What do you think Larry Brown's favorite vegetable is?
Something soft and easily to chew.
something he can leave at a moment's notice. That was my issue with Larry back then, to the extent that I had an issue. Like, honestly, I just had to write a column. So, like, that's what you got. I don't even remember. But I do remember the point of it being, like, this was in July. And he was trying to get a new contract done. And they were fighting over something, probably money. And then he just said, I'm done. I'm just walking away. And I won't say what I thought it was partly tied to because, you know, my point is I talked to his friends, like people who are friends with Larry. And I said, so what's going on here? And they said, Larry's entire personality has forever been when he gets frustrated with something or tired of something, he doesn't want to do it anymore. And yeah, he was tired of fighting over money or whatever he was fighting with SMU, but also probably didn't want to get on a plane and come to North Augusta, South Carolina to recruit. So it's just like, all right, then I'm done. You find a new coach.
Well, you pointed out on the comment. It was like in the middle of the evaluation period or whatever else. That it was the worst possible time to be leaving him in the drink. And he like texted his team and said, sorry, guys, I'm out of here.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And so what I remember talking to one of his close friends in coaching, what that person said to me is that the reason Larry does this is because there has always been a next good opportunity. He has been for decades, he's been able to just quit,
right.
And there's always something next. He said what he's going to realize after this one is there's not another good thing for him. There's not an NBA thing for him, and no college is going to hire him as a head coach after the way the SMU thing went and after the way the SMU thing ended. He said Larry's going to be home a month from now and realize, oh, I really, it's over for me. And I know he did the thing in Italy, but for the most part, since that day, it's been over for him.
Yep.
Until now.
Spinach, by the way. That's probably your softest bet.
He probably likes a soft spinach. That's exactly right.
I don't mind spinach.
I like spinach. It's good. Good for you.
You know the one I hate? Black-eyed
peas. You don't like asparagus.
I love asparagus.
Ooh, black-eyed peas are great.
I won't even touch them, even on the day when you're supposed to eat them for good luck.
Ooh,
is that New Year's Day?
I do it every year.
I refuse.
Man, I love them. Put ketchup on them.
What?
Yeah.
Ketchup on black-eyed peas?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
No, that's good.
It's the Daily Bennett's food hack.
Uh-huh. Put ketchup on your black-eyed peas. I'm not alone on that. That's
avocado and wrap it in bacon.
That's a thing.
Put ketchup on black-eyed peas.
I don't use ketchup nearly as much as the average human does.
I love ketchup.
I really like ketchup.
Everything
so
I like that. Basically, it's the ratio of fries to ketchup is about 50-50 for me. Yeah.
Everything you can do with ketchup, I would prefer to do with honey mustard. So I just do it with honey mustard. Fries, I dip my fries in honey mustard.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Honey mustard's delicious, but I prefer ketchup on a fry.
Me too.
Well, then you can both go to hell.
That's fine. I quit this radio show today. I just quit it. I'm walking away.
All right.
Sick of y'all.
All right.
I predict I'm going to pick up another show tomorrow. All right.
All right, Larry Brown. I'll see you later. That's Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Going to be a real shame when Larry moves here finally to be an assistant coach. Penny takes the Orlando Magic job.
That would be a
tough. And then they promote Larry Brown to head coach of the Tigers.
I was just about to say that. That'd be a tough deal.
Wouldn't that be something?
It'd make for good radio, there's no doubt.
No doubt in the world. Be back in a second.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Step my money fast and go fast, fast, go. Fast like a
Big Bet Bennett, the reviews are in.
Yeah, I can tell.
You're on an island by yourself with this ketchup black-eyed peas thing.
I'm kind of surprised by that. I actually thought that that was like a common thing.
I've never even heard of that.
I've literally done it like my whole life, put ketchup on black-eyed peas.
Spencer says the only thing worse than eating black-eyed peas is eating black-eyed peas with effing ketchup. Darian chimes in. He says, tell Big Bet Bennett ketchup on black-eyed peas is weird. And then Donald says, hey, 92.9. Congrats, y'all got the nastiest producer in America.
Oh, come on, Donald.
This man, Bennett Doyle, just said that he puts ketchup on black-eyed peas. You must have an iron stomach, jeez.
Oh, that's true. I do have an iron stomach.
I found a
Thank
list
you.
Of the 20 most popular vegetables in the United States.
Uh-huh. You want me to guess number one?
Yeah, sure.
I bet the number one most popular vegetable in the United States is probably just the good old-fashioned carrot.
Carrot comes in at number four.
Okay.
I don't mind carrots. I eat those.
I like carrots.
Number one is the potato.
Okay. See, I don't think of it as I guess it's a vegetable, right? It's kind of similar to Jeff's corn theory. Like, it's a starch. But, yeah, that's a vegetable. It's fine.
They call it a vegetable. I'm not here to argue with them.
Yeah.
Potatoes are number one. I dig potatoes. Number two, tomatoes.
I love a tomato.
I don't.
I love a good tomato.
I'm not like I won't throw up if I have to eat them. But I don't want them on anything.
It's got to be a good tomato, though. Like it can't just be some like nasty, like, it's got to be a good tomato. And put some black pepper on it. Mm.
Like, if you put a tomato on my burger or in my salad, I'll eat it. You know, I'm not, but I don't want it on there. I'd prefer it not be there. I don't dig tomatoes.
I like tomato slices just by themselves.
My wife does, too. I don't rock with them like that. Onions, love onions.
Love onions on
carrots,
everything.
Love onions on everything. Mm-hmm. Carrots, I like. Broccoli, I like.
Mm-hmm.
Bell peppers, sure.
Yep.
Lettuce, yeah.
Yep.
Cucumbers, I don't really eat them too much. I don't mind them.
I like them. I like cucumbers.
Fine with them.
I like
celery,
them in my drink.
Celery, sure.
Mm-hmm.
A salad mix, of course. Corn, sure. Garlic, okay. Mushrooms, I don't like them.
I don't mind them, but I never seek them out. I'm never looking for a mushroom.
I'm never looking for a mushroom either.
No.
14, cabbage.
Oh, I like cabbage.
I'm okay. I can take it or leave it. 15 is spinach. Sure. 16, sweet potatoes.
Yes. Don't say no.
Dude, I would never say no.
Okay.
I prefer a sweet potato fry.
Man. Oh, yeah. Over a regular fry.
Yes.
Yeah.
I prefer a sweet potato fry.
I prefer a sweet potato fry.
Green beans? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Cauliflower? What am I going to do with cauliflower?
I tried to make a cauliflower pizza, and it fell through my oven and ruined it. It took me like a day to clean the whole thing out.
Yeah, it's enough for me not to mess with it.
Yeah.
Green onions, I like any onions. Asparagus is number 20. I like asparagus.
I like asparagus. I don't like the after effects.
And I went and looked up butternut squash.
Where is it on the list? I would say like 35, 40.
Didn't make the top 20 and it doesn't go further than that.
Yeah.
But I can testify that I don't only enjoy butternut squash soup. I also enjoy butternut squash, like chopped up in little cubes.
Oh, and like sautéed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I love that.
I like that too.
Well, you guys were questioning my love for butternut squash.
Well, I didn't realize that you liked it like that too.
I like it
you
like just, that.
Okay, you like it like that.
I all like right. the soup though, and they have it at the Delta Sky Club in Atlanta.
I like the soup too.
I get it every time I go in there. I get a cup of butternut squash soup.
That's a good soup. It's a solid soup.
Be back with dinner to go.
Powers above me, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just a puppet here. If you want to place blame, then look to the puppeteer. Family, fortune, envy, jealousy, privilege, passed on, legacy, secret, sabotage, borderline.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, or business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. That is a second-generation local agency, been owned and operated since 1981. It's the home of the Erie Rate Lock. That's a way to lock in your auto rates indefinitely. Each year, you don't have an accident. Your deductible drops by $100. Your first accident is forgiven. And lower than normal rates are available right now. So get in touch with them. 901-867-7283. 867-7283. Notice it's a 901 in the area code. That's because this is a local insurance agency. Let's say that you get auto insurance. And then someday you have an accident. Or somebody breaks into your car. Somebody steals your car. You're going to have to make a claim. You're going to feel much more comfortable making a claim with a local agency run by somebody who lives here, who knows you, who you can sit with face-to-face if you want to. You don't want to call a 1-800 number, talk to somebody you never met. You don't have to do that if you get a policy with Elizabeth Rook Insurance. Two locations in the Memphis area, one in Lakeland, one in Covington. 901-867-SAVE, 867-7283 on the web. RookInsurance.com. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Whole bunch of stuff, but the main thing is that Bennett is gross, gross, gross.
Disagree.
This dude puts ketchup on black eyed peas.
Sure.
First off, I think black eyed peas are gross anyway. I don't want anything to do with them. Hey, you need to eat them for good luck. You know what? I'll just take my chances with some bad luck rather than put black-eyed peas in my mouth. But putting ketchup on it? Ugh.
No, it adds a flavor profile that you've never experienced before.
Are you? Just lie to me if you are. Mm. I don't want to think of you this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you a ketchup on steak guy?
No.
Thank you.
I do like steak sauce, though. I mean, I won't ask for it like at a good steakhouse, but like if I'm just like eating a steak at home, I'll put steak sauce on it.
If you want to do it in the privacy of your own home, that's fine. You can't do it out in public with me.
No. I mean, in most steakhouses, you don't need it. Like, it's good enough by itself. But like if I'm cooking it mine own on the grill, like I'll do a little steak sauce.
I'm not going to hate you for that. You can do whatever you want in the confines of your own home as long as you turn the Zoom camera off.
Yeah.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Nets Bucks Game 3. At Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Milwaukee down 2-0. Got humiliated in Game 2. And KD out there telling Jay Williams at the club, Giannis ain't me. Don't compare him to me. Mm-hmm. It's a big game for Giannis.
It's a huge game for him. What's the line looking like?
Milwaukee minus 3.5. How you feel?
Wow.
How you feel?
They are favored by 3.5. Dude, I'll take Nets plus 3.5. They beat the crap out of those dudes the past two games.
By 39.
Like, what's going to change? I mean, I guess the home crowd's going to rally the troops, but come on, man.
Well, here's what changes, if it changes. Giannis plays well because he's motivated by all this back-and-forth stuff. Milwaukee makes threes. Home crowd plays a part.
Sure.
And Brooklyn's up 2-0.
Game 3 is always the one where the team that's down 0-2 comes back and wins.
They don't have a sense of urgency like Milwaukee knows they have to win this game. And you add all that up, and then you get a weird outcome.
But they got nobody that can stop KD and Kyrie, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably take the points, but I lose all the time. I'm never getting this stuff right. You make your official bet. Big bet, bit a bet.
Nets plus 3.5. Let's go.
Nets plus 3.5. Let's go. Tip 6:30. You can watch it on ESPN.
What should I watch on TV?
Final episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians is on E! Tonight.
Damn, end of an era.
End of an era. 20 seasons. The family, you want the description?
Yes.
The family goes to Lake Tahoe to reminisce about some of the greatest moments from the 20 seasons while Kim deals with turmoil in her marriage.
Ooh. You gonna watch? Sad.
No. but I will watch next week. They're doing like a sit down with Andy Cohen.
Yeah. Love Andy.
And they're gonna be talking about everything, all sorts of stuff. So I'll watch that. That's interesting. But I don't care too much about watching the show. But you can watch it if you want to. 7 o'clock on E!
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
I talked to Chris Beard, the new Texas coach, earlier in the week. Wrote a column about that earlier today, about why he took the Texas job, how they financially committed to him, and that if you look at what he did at Little Rock and then Texas Tech, there's really no reason to think he's not going to knock this thing completely out of the park. So if you haven't read that yet, go check it out, CBSSports.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Friday.
Yep.
So we'll look back at tonight's playoff games, look ahead to tomorrow's playoff games. Perhaps we'll have more Penny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.